Definitely 1067 The Fan. High noon in the District of Columbia. Everybody that's on hold, stay there. We're coming to you. I promise. We're doing phones all day. But right now, we're catching up with David Archer, Falcons radio analyst, former Falcons quarterback. We are excited to talk to David and just about the level of quarterbacking he saw last night. David, how are you, man? Thanks for the time.
Good to be with you guys.
Well, dude, obviously that was a wild game. The Falcons kind of dominated the first half. Washington came all the way back in the second. What did you think of the Commanders' ability to pull off that win?
Yeah, I was impressive. First of all, I was impressed with the crowd. I thought that the fan base, I was fortunate to, misfortune probably, to play in Washington as an opposing player, and then a chance to be with the Washington football team in the late 80s, early 90s, and see that crowd base when they were going to Super Bowls. And last night felt like one of those moments. That was a great crowd. They were that they really helped their team last night. And so kudos to the Washington Commander fan base, first of all. Thought it was a really cool atmosphere. Felt like a playoff game.
It did.
As far as the team, they have taken on the persona of their coach. Their coach is a tough guy. He's a guy that he puts his arms around all the players. We had him here in Atlanta. He took us to a Super Bowl. I love what he's doing up there. He's got a good young quarterback, and there's a number of good players on their team. But they play as a unit. They play together, and that all came when you come back like that in a game. You're down 17-7. You're able to regroup. You had a lot of things go against you. I don't know what the officials were doing. We had a game like that a couple weeks ago against Minnesota, where the officials decided to take over the game. And those were two of the best teams in the league in Atlanta and Washington in penalties against. And last night, Washington got annihilated by penalties last night, which was crazy. Yeah, crazy. Both those teams were averaging six or less penalties per game. Atlanta against Minnesota had like 13 penalties against Minnesota up in Minnesota a couple weeks ago. But something apples to the officials. But anyway, they overcame all of that. It was a classic, really fun game with two teams that have two bright stars at quarterback.
You mentioned Dan Quinn, and a lot of people want to talk about them losing the Super Bowl, but hell, it's not easy to get to a Super Bowl. So sure. He did a lot of great stuff there. What is it you think it is about Dan that makes him be like get a player to follow him so quickly?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that you can necessarily put your finger on it, but he's an inclusive guy. You almost feel like there is coaching going on. There's obviously development of players, but there's also a collaborative feel where you feel like you're involved with game planning. You feel like you're involved with what's going on in practice. If something doesn't go right, there's an adjustment made. You're a part of that. I think that's something that makes you feel like, you're in it, one for all for one. And I think that's what Dan's about. He talks about brotherhood. He talks about everybody, being in the fight together. And I know it's a lot of times it's rhetoric. A lot of times it's just saying stuff, but he got the guys down here to believe in it. And I think he's doing that in Washington as well. And you obviously have to have players that can go make plays. And the young quarterback, I mean, Jaden Daniels is a heck of a player. He took the game over in the second half. Yeah. We really did a decent job in the first half, Atlanta did, in, kind of keeping things under reins. But we knew at some point he was going to take off. He was going to start being the dynamic athlete we saw at LSU and win the Heisman Trophy last year. He was going to do some of that. And could we find a way to keep him hemmed in? We couldn't. And that was just a fact of the matter, and he took the game over. But as far as Dan goes, he's a fun guy to be around, and I think that makes it fun to come to work. And sometimes that can be drudgery when you go in there and it's not a great work atmosphere, and there's a bunch of people griping at each other, and people in the building don't like each other, and all that. He doesn't allow that kind of stuff, and you can see it's definitely permeating there in Washington.
Yeah, man, it's interesting you bring that up. I'm talking with David Archer, who is the Falcons radio analyst, played quarterback for the Falcons, was quarterback here in Washington in the late 80s. One of the first things DQ did, and I was kind of like skeptical of it, is he moved all the lockers around. It was no more position groups. It was everybody just kind of intermingled. And I one of the players last night referenced how much that has had an impact just on getting to know each other. And it's just, there's a little bit of willing to push back on conventional wisdom that you see from DQ. And I think it's really, really worked. I'm curious, as a former quarterback yourself, what you thought of Jaden Daniels' level of play last night.
Yeah, I thought he tried to stay within the confines of what Cliff wanted to do with him in the first half. I think they felt like they could maybe hurt Atlanta dropping and throwing, him staying in the pocket. Atlanta does a pretty good job of playing match coverage. They'll play some zone, they'll play some man, but a lot of times it's kind of a match zone, and I thought that they were really well prepared to take what Atlanta was giving them in the passing game. They struggled to get the run game going. I know that Cliff Kingsbury continued to kind of probe Atlanta. You know, they went to some Wildcat, did some stuff with Robinson. But ultimately, the problem was going to be Jaden Daniels. And I thought they saw a glimpse of it. They ran one zone replay in the first half, and Jaden kept it. And he picked up about 20 around the left edge. And I said, uh-oh. Then I looked at my broadcast partner. I said, they just discovered, you know, they need to let their guy go. And so they took the reins off of him. And I don't know that it was necessarily verbally said, but I think Jaden felt it. I think certainly Cliff felt it. And whether they actually said something, said, hey, you find room, take off. Because Atlanta was trying to rush him. They were trying to rush on his level, trying not to give him lanes. That was something they'd worked on all week long. We brought Emory Jones in. We actually signed a guy to try to play Jaden Daniels in practice, you know. So it worked for half. But ultimately, he got to be the guy he is. And it's what he did to Philly the week before where he took off. And we had no – I don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to have an answer for him. The biggest thing they're going to have to govern there is – he's not the biggest guy in the world from a body standpoint. You guys have been covering him all year long.
Yeah.
And he's a tough kid. But you're going to take shots in the National Football League you didn't take in college. And so he's got to be careful with that. But the dude's a tough guy. He's a smart guy. He's a much better passer than I think anybody knows. I think he's going to be a dynamic passer. I think he's going to be – he's far – and he's well beyond what Lamar was coming into the league as a guy that could run – throwing the football. He has a much better understanding of throwing the ball. And look what Lamar's turned into. I think that's what you're looking at with Jaden Daniels.
I think Jaden, he has learned to protect himself. But yesterday, I think he felt, I have to take some chances for us to win this game. And that's why he put himself in harm's way, I think, a couple times.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that, you know, there comes a time, Brian, you know, I mean, when you play the game, there's some times where you got to throw caution to the wind. I remember taking off and saying, hey, I got to go get this first down. And that's what he does. I think he understands the tempo of the game. He understands the moments in the game when he needs to do that. And certainly at the end of the game, in that final drive in overtime, I thought he did some really good stuff there to create the opportunity to win the football game.
Yeah, I think – what you see with Jaden is just this absolute competitor, and whatever needs to be done in the moment, he'll respond and do it. And it's pretty remarkable to see that in a rookie. As far as, I mean, you know, Atlanta's had a hell of a schedule. Like, there's the what the Falcons have been ups and downs throughout the year. At one point, it looked like they would run away with the NFC South. Now, I don't believe – it's not – for certain yet that are the Falcons, they're still alive, right? Depending what happens with Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa's got to lose the Saints, and based on what I saw the Saints yesterday, that's not going to happen.
No.
It looks like the Saints have mailed it in. And you know, you're covering football the way you do, for us to have to depend on the Saints here in Atlanta is, you know, almost like eating spinach or something like that. I don't know. It's just not going to work, you know. But
yeah.
I just – They're not gonna beat Tampa. We'll have to play. You know, I think it'll be a real challenge for Raheem. And this is professional football, and so you get ready for the next week because you're a pro. But the guys that was really a deflating loss for Atlanta last night. They laid it all on the line last night. They knew it was a playoff game. They knew that this was the game that potentially was going to get them into the playoffs. I think they could beat Carolina. So they were really down after the game. So that'll be a bit of a challenge for the players themselves and for Raheem and his staff to get these guys ready to play this next weekend. I know they know there's a little bit still on the line, but that was a tough one last night.
Well, especially to have a 10-point lead at halftime and then to tie it up at the end. I get that's got to be a really tough locker room to be in. But David, considering you are the Falcons radio analyst, you've been watching this team for years and certainly all this year. Atlanta's played a pretty tough schedule. They've played the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Eagles, at Minnesota, play the Chargers, at Denver, like a lot of tough games on that schedule. I'm kind of curious for our audience where you think Washington stacks up against some of those better teams the Falcons have played.
Yeah, I think that the first thing you start with is you start with the kid at quarterback. I think that you mentioned he's a gutsy guy. Brian talked about how, you know, he's a guy that's going to understand, hey, I got to go get this game. I got to put my team on my shoulders. I need to go do that. I think that staff there, Cliff Kingsbury, they've enabled him to feel comfortable doing that. I mean, sometimes rookie quarterbacks are reluctant to take the reins as the leader and you know, load the team on their back or do things athletically because they're taken away from the great players like Terry McLaurin or whoever it is. He's not fearful of that. And they've done a good job of enabling him in that regard. But I think in the National Football League, you know, it's a given Sunday. We know that. I think Washington is as good as anybody they're going to play. They've played against the best. I mean, Philly's a good football team. Played Philly to the wall twice in two games. So we played Philly up there and beat them late in the game because Saquon Barkley dropped the pass in the right flat. We were able to come back and win the football game. It's that given Sunday, that weekend, you know, whoever yeah. you get. I think Tampa is hot as can be right now. I think yeah. Baker Mayfield is one of those gritty guys that's going to find a way to beat you. So I think it's wide open. The Lions are limping into the playoffs because of their defense. They're going to have to play really good offensively to beat everybody. Minnesota seems to have that, you know, Minnesota and Kansas City seem to have that horseshoe up their rear end where they keep finding a way to win games. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch the playoffs this year, but Washington could very easily make a run this year.
David, that horseshoe in Kansas City is number 15.
I think you're right. That dude just finds a way to win games. And maybe number five in Washington is one of those kind of guys.
I hope he is.
It's crazy to think that he kind of seems like that type of dude. Hey, David, just curious, how do they handle this Kirk thing? What do the Falcons do there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's guys, that one's above my pay grade.
Well, he's walking away with a lot of money, I can tell you that.
He had a lot of money before he ever got here, Brian. Yeah. You know that. I mean, dude's walked into a pile of money. Every room he walks into is like Monty Hall standing there ready to give him some money and let's make a deal. So
he gets the bag.
But, yeah, no question about it. It's a sad deal because, guys, you guys probably were around Kirk when he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to meet a more quality human being than Kirk Cousins. I mean, and the dude has been a really good player. I have no idea what happened to him in like week 10, week 11 of the season. Things just, it was like he quit. He says in his press conference after he lost his job, I didn't forget how to play quarterback. That's what it felt like. Uh-huh. It felt like he forgot how to play. You know, and you mentioned that schedule. We played ourselves in position 6-3 through nine games. All you got to do is win a couple of those games and you're going to walk into the playoffs. Tampa's way behind you. You beat Tampa head to head twice. But we just bled that whole thing away, and then Kirk just lost his way. And as far as the money goes, yeah, that's one of those deals where there's a lot of different things, you know, after June 1st and all these kind of things. But it's still going to be a huge chunk of change Atlanta's going to have to swallow But hey, that was the bet they decided to get in, and somebody's gonna have to pay for that.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tricky situation for the Falcons.
He can walk away, and he's gonna get about 70.
Right.
That tells me the league makes a lot of money.
What is the Atlanta fan fallout to kind of some of the time management from Raheem last night?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here with the fan base. I was listening to a little sports talk radio here in Atlanta on my way into the Falcon camp, and they're not happy. You played some QB too, Brian. When you sit in meetings and you listen and you learn and you try to think about clock management as a player. And see, back when we played, you didn't have guys talking in your ear or anything like that. You had to kind of know the game. You had to kind of know when to burn timeouts and things like that. And whenever you got to that 40-second range, time became the premium. Downs weren't the premium anymore. If you had timeouts, multiple timeouts, certainly you're trying to save one for the field goal. But if you had multiple timeouts and you completed a pass inbounds with less than 40 seconds on the clock, you've got to burn a timeout, you know, and to save the time. Because you see teams rush the line and kill the clock with grounding the ball. Obviously, downs aren't the premium. Time is the premium. And, yeah, Atlanta bled off about 17 seconds there and ultimately cost them. Now we got the penalty there, whether that was a penalty or not. I mean, the ball was thrown about 10 feet over the court receiver's head on the play, but they called PI there to give us a chance to kick a field goal. But, it was not the best moment from an operation standpoint. Let's put it that way.
I agree with that. Hey, David, we really appreciate you making time for us, man. I look forward to, I was saying this last night. Interestingly enough, we know a couple people involved in Falcons ownership, Dominique Dawes and her husband, and Atlanta is an NFC team, but I never got beef with the Falcons. Like last night, you want them to lose, but in general, I'm cool with the Falcons.
Totally.
And I'm a big Penix fan, and I hope that all works out down there, man. I love watching a big lefty like that just sling it. I hope it works out for you, dude.
Yeah, he's got a chance to be pretty good. I appreciate it, man. Dominic goes to all the games, too, so she's a very active minority owner. We're excited to have her. We're excited that she's involved with the team. But appreciate you guys. Good luck in the playoffs, man.
Right, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you, David. Take care. David Archer, Falcons radio analyst. Give him a follow at ArcherQB16. Phone lines are packed. We're taking all your calls the rest of the show. Damn it. And Alex Ovechkin can't stop scoring.
There you go.